Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our Word of the Week takes an in-depth look at important Bible words so we might increase and deepen our understanding of God's Word of Truth. We pray that these brief studies will enable you to get more out of your daily reading and hearing of God's Holy Word.
Good morning and welcome back to Burden and Blessing for our Word of the Week. Today we are considering the word immorality. Immorality is a compound word. It has as its basis the word moral. Now, moral has to do with principles of good conduct or correct conduct. It's the difference between right and wrong. Immoral is the opposite. Immoral has to do with going against those rules of correct conduct. And in Scripture, the word immoral has an even more specific meaning than that. In Scripture, the word immoral has a more narrow definition than the way that we understand it in English. In English, we would understand immoral to be going against or transgressing accepted moral rules, being corrupt. But in Scripture, it refers specifically to sins against the sixth commandment. A definition of immoral in Scripture would be one who is sexually deviant, promiscuous. We see this quite often throughout both the Old and the New Testament in the way that the word immoral is used. For example, in Proverbs 7, verse 5, that they might keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. In the New Testament, there is a very specific word that is used and is translated immoral. And usually in most of our English translations, this word is translated, again, more specifically as sexually immoral. So again, we see that it has the more narrow definition as opposed to that broader definition that we use in English. The Greek word is porneia, from which we get in English the word pornography. This word porneia has to do with literally being a male prostitute. Now, throughout the New Testament, we see this word being used as a description for deviant behavior, behavior that goes against what God has set down in His Word. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes, we see that this behavior of immorality or sexual immorality is something that separates us from God. In Ephesians 5, Paul writes, for you know this, that no fornicator, now that's again the same Greek word, porneia, but here translated fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. This behavior, this lack of morality regarding the sixth commandment in particular, is something that separates us from God. Finally, in Revelation chapter 21, John describes the outcome or the final verdict of such a one who lives their lives in such a way. John writes, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, that's the word porneia, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. As we take a look at this word immorality, both in its usage in our modern English-speaking world and in its usage in the Greek or the Hebrew-speaking world, we see that there is none who is moral. Immorality is something that describes all of human beings. We have sin not only in our behavior, but also in our thoughts and in our words. We are immoral. We have gone against God's law and have sinned against Him. And that seems like there is not much for hope. But again, Paul reminds us that all such behavior, deviant behavior away from God, immorality, while it does separate us from God, there is hope for such a one. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Paul lays out a pretty complete list regarding immoral behavior, including those sexual sins. But then he goes on and he says in verse 11, "And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Jesus took our sin upon himself and has set us free. Such sin does have perfect cleansing, perfect healing in the blood of Jesus through faith in him as the one and only Savior. May the Lord cause us to see our actions, our immoral behavior, and to see the perfect solution for those sins in his blood shed for you, for me, and for every sinner. Thanks be to God.
We encourage you to listen for a new word each week on Burden and Blessing Podcast, where we believe and confess that every word of God is true. Until next week, be assured that God's word is truth and is more precious than gold.